So we're talking about the power, and we're going to just look at the things that, there's a lot of them, but today we're going to look at some of the things that get us really up over the top, and the things that can put you right on the bottom. And we want to give you a very familiar text, and then we'll talk about some things from this, because this is important. And this comes from, you know, just, this is just one of those things the Lord just, you know, puts on your heart. But in this day and time, I don't hear in a week's time, and you probably don't either, you don't hear much, people don't speak positive anymore. There's just, it's everything you hear. It just seems to be going down the tubes. That we're going to have one of the big things is the power grid is going to go down. And everybody's worried about February. And we got traumatized. We did. We really got traumatized. And we have a little freeze at night. And people get worried that there's going to be brownouts. And, of course, it's not helping any when the news media helps spread this stuff. And there could be brownouts. And there could be, you know, yes. And the sky could fall. And, you know, all kinds that could happen. And that's, you got to watch this. I mean, it's just gone from sensationalism to just incredibility. It's just incredible. I mean, it's just, but it works on us. And you know what, when it comes down to it, it's up to you and me to stay on top of this. And so we'll look at a passage here in Mark chapter 11. And if we pay attention to it, really pay attention to it, it's our guideline for how we're supposed to be living, and we're going to build, the message is going to build, right? It's all built out of this text we're going to read. So let's read this, and then we'll share. So we're using the New International Version, and Jesus had cursed a fig tree. So please do this. I condense things for the sake of our time. But I pull out, and I want proof text. I want it all, and it's, but I can't give you everything. And so read before and after when you hear a message, on anybody's message. And by the way, if what a person is preaching, if you can't find it in Scripture, then don't listen to that message. You don't need pep talks. You need God's talk. Anybody hear me? Listen, there's too much pep talking and feel good stuff. This is what God says. So here it is. I know you've already probably been reading it up here. But he said, have faith in God. He cursed a fig tree, and they came by and they said, well, that thing's done. Wow. And, you know, well, maybe wow's not in there, but, you know, I paraphrase for you. And so it says, have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it'll be done for him. What a statement. Did you ever catch it? He just gave you power of speech. Power of believing speech right there. He said, if anyone says to this mountain to do this, look at that. And he said, I want you to speak your faith. So we're going to talk about the power of speech here in a moment. And all this is done in faith. And then he says, do not doubt. Don't want you to, he said, if you doubt, then it's useless. And do not doubt, but believe it will happen, it'll be done. Then he said, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you received it, and it'll be yours. So we're talking about speech and prayer, believing. And then, of course, if you'll read on, which I didn't have time for, I won't have time to really build on in this case, but it's in here. But he said, here's what'll get you every time. He said, when you stand doing this, if you are holding anything against anyone, you forgive them. So your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And so he's got that little, there's the catch. And it may not be a big one for some of you, and for others it might be, uh-oh, that's my tripping stone right there. So when you come to before God, he doesn't want you holding something against someone else. And when you come before him, and if you are, then he wants it put there before him and left there. So I won't have time to build on that very last part because we want to get to this other. So let's talk about what Jesus said. If you have faith in God, and he said assuredly. He said, I promise you. Assuredly means I promise you. It's guaranteed from God that if you say to this mountain, whoever, What does whoever mean? You got to catch these words. That he said, whoever does this. So what was he saying? You don't have to be one of my 12 apostles. You don't have to be a rabbi. You don't have to be a pastor. He said, anyone, whoever, anyone that's one of my children can say to this mountain, go and throw yourself in the sea and do not doubt, but believe, then it'll be done. So he didn't say, you have to be one of my apostles. I just want you to be one of my disciples. Any of my children, whoever of my people says this, it'll be done for them. I haven't been able to cast one mountain into the sea. Okay? And that's really not what... And of course, then he catches this also when Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It's like, okay, Tony, he didn't mean for you to go around saying mountain be cast into the sea. You know? Now, there's been a few mountains that I've wanted to say, mountain, move out to a few miles north of Junction so I could have a mountain to look at with snow on the, I would like to say that. But see, that's so self-serving, God won't do that. You know, so you know, he's not going to give me that. But I would very much, you know, move out to London. Wouldn't you like to have a mountain in London? Well, no, you wouldn't. You don't live there. But I would. And to see the snow-capped peaks and all that, and the snow drift. Anyway, forget it. Anyway, it's not going to happen. But what we've done to compensate in Texas is we call anything higher than a prairie dog's mound, we call that a mountain. So people, I'll say mountains all the time, and people say, where do you live? I say, I live out there where all those mountains are, you know. And it's like, those are hills, not for somebody born and raised in this state. They are mountains to be climbed. So back to this. He said, what he was saying was this. You know, when it comes down to the mountains of life, he didn't mean go cast physical mountains anywhere. We'd like to do that. We don't have the faith for that. If you really had the faith, it'd be a really powerful thing. You could do it. But he's just talking about just the fig tree. What was the problem with the fig tree? The fig tree, when fig trees, they usually have figs and then the leaves come out as the figs are really developing to be ripened. Did you know that? Have you ever had figs? But if you look at figs, the fig will come out and then the leaf will come out over the fig. So when that fig tree was showing leaves, the fig tree was saying, I'm bearing fruit. It was pretending to. And Jesus said, you're a fig tree that pretends to be a fig tree and you're worthless, because he went to look for figs because it had leaves and it didn't have any figs. And so he cursed it and said, you don't take up any more soil and nutrient from the earth. You're gone. Now look at this. I don't have time for, I wish I did. This is so powerful stuff. And it's not in our text, but I want you to know what about this. He was using that to say this, and we don't, you know, don't miss this teaching, and then I'll move on to where we need to apply all this today. But the teaching there, and the reason the fig tree withered, was because he was making the comparison between the fig tree and Israel at the time. He said, Israel, you're showing that you have fruit, but when I look under your leaves, you don't believe. You have no fruit. And Israel now is going to receive the curse because of this. You're rejecting Christ. You're rejecting me. And this is what's going to happen to you, and you're going to wither up and die. Look at Israel now. Israel hardly has a speck. They have just hardly has a speck of faith. We pray for Israel because salvation will return to Israel is what the scripture says. But you look at how liberal Israel has become. I can't believe it. And this guy that got now leading Israel is horrible. And it's like they're getting like us. And that's bad. You know, you're getting people in office that, whoa. So anyway, but there it is. And so he saw that. He said, you look like you are my fruit-bearing people, and I lift up the leaves, and there's nothing there. It's all talk. It's just all show. Friends, I want to say to you, be careful, because in a lot of Christians in that way, and a lot of churches, boy, they look like they're bearing fruit, but you lift up that leaf and watch and look and look and look, and you can't find one speck of Christian fruit. Just on Sunday. And so that leads us into this. And he said, I want you to realize the power I'm giving you people. And he said, I'm giving you the power of speaking your faith and things happen. You know, he said, if anyone says to this mountain, go be moved, you know, cast into the sea. And what, you know, what mountain is facing you is what he's saying. I'm giving you incredible power and speech. And I was researching this, looking, saying, is there anything more to back this up? And yeah, so let me give you this. In Matthew 12, you won't see this up here. I didn't put it up there because yesterday evening I was just looking, saying, oh, I need a little more. So Matthew 12, 36 through 37 says, but I tell you, you will have to give. This scares me. And I hope it, for all of us, it probably jolts us a little. He said, Jesus is speaking. He said, I tell you, you will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word you have spoken. Does that bother you? I mean, I can't hardly drive down here without some careless word. I may not cuss them out. I really don't want to be doing that. It's not good to cuss people going to church, okay? And try to get home from church before you cuss anybody. But I tell them what their IQ is. I do have a bad habit of saying, what kind of an idiot are you? Idiot's my word. It applies to anybody that does something I don't want them to do. How about you? You got a word? Well, maybe you better not speak it here. But do you have any words you can speak? What's yours? Idiot? Imbecile? Okay. Knucklehead. There you go. And we have all this. And God says, but here's the tough part. And God says, I'm going to make you count for every careless word that you speak. And I'm thinking, I may be standing there at the gates a long time before I'm let in. Wonder how long that line's going to be with people having to count for every careless. But that's what he says. And we blow by this stuff because we're under grace. But he said, we're under grace, and I'm not going to send you to hell for it because you're my child, but you're going to count for it. And so I have to count for every careless word. He says, for by your words you will be acquitted, justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. He said, your words are going to set you free or they're going to condemn you. Because that's part of the fruit. And so let's get into this thing. Listen, just mark this down. What you say, what I say as a Christian, has incredible power. We don't realize it. Why? Because our body becomes the temple of the living God the moment that we ask Jesus Christ in our hearts. Now I have the power of speech. I have the power of speaking. And we don't realize it. So it's like, okay, so you're given a God's power of speaking. It's like, because you're an influencer. Don't we realize it? Everybody in this room is an influencer for Christ. Whether we're doing it or not, that's what we're here for. So I can either cause people to go on the path to hell, or I can help them get on the path towards salvation by what I say. And so when you're putting that gas in your truck or your car and it spurts back on you and gets all over your shoes, and the people on the other side of the pump are standing there listening, your words as a Christian are going to have an influence. They don't know who you are or anything else, but God says because there's power in your speech, you'll condemn yourself or you'll acquit yourself right there. And I'm thinking of that because it happens to me on a phone. I've got to where I stand as far back as I can and lean to put that thing in. Because for some reason, it wants to, once in a while, my pickup has hiccups. Does yours? And it'll just suddenly, a little spray of gas will come back out the thing. And it's like, I know there's something I'm probably not doing right here. And I put it on the slow run, you know, and I'm not very patient, and I'll stand there. I hate putting it on that little first notch. Put it on the third and hear it rushing in. But if I do that, it wants to rush out. You know, and it's true. You put too much air in the tummy, and you're gonna burp. And so my pickup burps. And so I pat it and try to keep it. Never mind, and that's going too far. So. And then when it comes out on my shoes, my boots, I'm scrubbing and I carry stuff in the truck and try to keep all the gas smell. I get in there and close the door. Don't you hate that? And you smell those gas fumes and it's nauseating and it's sickening. And it's like, and you just want to say all kinds of things and tell that pump all kinds of things about itself. And God is listening. So listen, what you say as well as what you think has incredible power. And we can influence people to heaven or to hell, whether we know it or not, because we are given the power of speaking. And we don't even get it. So I may be there with a bunch of strangers and I'm putting the fuel, putting the gas in the truck, and somebody's on the other side, which they always are, both sides. And then you start muttering those cuss words, or you start throwing a temper fit, or something's wrong, or your card's not working right in the pump. Today, listen, the new cards, I just got a new card, right? It's not a card, it's my bank card. But the new card has that new, it has the new chip where you can tap it and do all that stuff. That card is rejected more times now than my old card ever was. You push it in the slot and they say, take it out and do this, take it out and do this. And it's like, you know, the newer this technology becomes, the worse it is, the more time consuming. Anybody finding that with these new chips? Yeah, this, you just tap the chip. Just do that. And half the time or more, it's rejected. You put it in there, it's rejected. And they're looking at you. Here's what they're doing. They're looking at you and they're thinking, you don't have any money. You know that's what they're thinking, right? And you're embarrassed and your face turns red and you feel hot all over. And you slide the card back in. And you know what they're thinking because they got that look like criminal. You can just see it in their eyes, you know? And so you keep working with it. And it finally works. And it's like, this is my new chip. Guaranteed to be safer, better. Oh, you'll love this. You can just tap and go. No, you tap and wait. You tap and wait. You tap and get frustrated. You take Pepto-Bismol. You take Prilosec. It goes from there. You know, I'm serious. And it's like, give me my old card. Let's just do it. I even miss the days when you put the card down and they did the thing over it and printed it. That worked every time the first time. Don't you remember? Does anybody still remember that? That's, if you're younger, you won't. But you put your card down and they ran this little thing over it and it was done. And now it's in. And here's the Walmart thing. Try it again. Try it again. Try it again. And by that time, that poor person standing there is just, you know, that's all they can say. You're ready to hurt them severely. Say, don't tell me to try it again one more. And then this is what makes you really mad. They can take your card and they hold it a minute or they do some little thing and they put it in and it works perfect. Anyway, enough of that. I got it out of my system. Now I can bring this message. I feel better now over there. I just, my little soapbox. I should have stood on it right there. What you say, as well as what you think, has incredible power. Don't you ever think that you're getting away with whatever words you speak. If there's people around, and if there's not, there's still things out here. I don't have the time to build on this, but it says there's powers and principalities. There's all kinds of things, and there's angels of God. We just got to watch what we say. We've got to learn to get a bridle on our tongue, and it has to start in our head. You see, when you speak faith words, listen to me. Get this, when you speak faith words, it begins to put into motion the means to achieve and receive what you're seeking. Let me say it again. When you speak faith words, it begins to put into motion the means to achieve and receive what you're seeking. Quit saying to yourself and to people, oh, I don't ever win anything. I never come out on top of this stuff. Everything I make just goes to pay the bills. Just keep saying it, and that's what will keep happening. What God wants you to do, no matter how your situation is, no matter how desperate it seems to you, looks to you, no matter how desperate or bad people are saying it is for you, God wants you to stand on top of that and say, this too will pass. I am a child of God and I have the power of faith words. I have the power to speak into existence what is not existing right now, because God will do it if I believe it. He says He will. And this is hard for us. This is hard for us. The human race, we're people. Our humanity says, no, that just can't be. But it just says right here in this word, if you say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, I'll do it for you. He said, but you can't doubt that when you're doing it. And so many times we ask God for something, we bring our appeal, but we're not truly believing God's going to do it. Quit saying, oh, I pray and pray and pray, and nothing good ever comes of it. Well, that right there just kills the whole thing. No, I am going to get this. I don't care what it looks like right now. This is going to work. God will do it. I believe in Jesus Christ and His power, and He says that I can speak these words of faith, and this will happen. It'll happen the way God wants it to happen. You can't tell God just exactly, well, I want it this way. God's saying, oh no, I've got a different packaging for it, but it's coming. But the point is, it's coming. Don't give in to all this negative stuff. Man, I've had people call them it. They still do. One of the latest things really is going around. Serious, started, I don't know where it started, but it's hitting me up there where I'm at, is, Tony, you better stock up and get a lot of firewood. Why? The power grid's going to go down. You know what? It could. It could. But if I keep speaking like that, it probably will. Don't give the devil any help. He doesn't need any. Okay? Don't encourage him. So you stand there and say, in Jesus' name, God will take care of me. In Jesus' name, my power grid, however that power grid comes out to be, God is going to keep my power grid going. Do you believe that? Okay, so the system may fail. What's your power grid? You got wood? If you don't, get some wood. You got a little buddy stove and some propane bottles? If you don't, get one. In other words, you know, get the stuff you need and let God then provide the way. You don't have to suffer that much. You really don't have to suffer at all. I think a lot of our suffering we bring on ourselves. You know what I think? I know in my heart this to be the case. With all the stuff that's happened, even from last year, and you know, February's coming up, people are freaking out about it. You know, all that stuff is designed to do by the Lord? To teach us to quit depending so much on man and start depending on Him. We're trusting the government. We're trusting the state. We're trusting society. Man, depend on God. Ask God, what do you want me to do to prepare for the winter? God, how do you want me to live? What do you want me to do to have financial blessings? You read over in the scripture, you know what it says? It says God gives the power to get wealth. Why don't you ask Him for it? If you're lacking money or whatever, God, give me the power to get wealth. But here's the catch. But God, help me to use that wealth to help other people to further your kingdom. I really think a lot of people don't get wealth because they're not prepared in their heart to spend it helping others, help their church. They spend it on themselves. Oh, I want this mansion and I want this and I want that and I. And God said, but if you ask for that money to further my kingdom, I will also meet all your needs with it and beyond. Is everybody with me here? Speak it in faith. If you need $1,000, $10,000, $1,000,000, you say, well, that's not far out there. What's $1,000,000 today? Really? People used to say, oh, if I had $1,000,000. I look at the cost of things. I said, if I had $1,000,000, you know, what are you going to get? A tent? You say, you know, people say, I'll buy me a big ranch with $1,000,000. Just try it. See how that comes out for you. What is it you need? What is it you want? Have you thought about just speaking it? Just stand out there on that and look. Maybe you found a place you really like to have or something, or whatever. Have you thought about just standing and speaking it, and in the name of Jesus, I just speak God's will over this, and this will come to pass however God wants it to, but I will be blessed and be a blessing to God and to others through this? Speak faith. Don't listen to this garbage. Stop letting people mess with your head. At times, I just have to go out there where I'm at, and I just take a walk because I have to shake off all the stuff I'm hearing. Tony, people are dying from this and dying that, and this is happening, and we're just not going to make it. And it's like, the Bible already tells me we're not going to make it. And people look at you so funny. I said, we're all going to go. I mean, you're not going to make it here. You do the best you can here and stay healthy, but you're not going to make it. I hate to tell you, but you won't walk out of here walking. Thank you. Even the little one knew that. This is not to be dismal, but it's like, you know, we get so worried about, you know, I'm just not going to make it. And the thing is, no, not that way. But while you're in the process, you know, till the end, you know, there is an end to this body, and then I get a new one. I'm going to get a trade-in. You know, the older you get, the more that's not a bad thought. I can tell you that. And after that little thing the other day, and I was thinking, it'll be nice to have a new body. I don't want any more nodules to deal with, you know, and all this kind of stuff that comes. So here's what God's saying. You have mountains in front of you. I don't know what your mountain is. You do. What is your mountain? What is the mountain Jesus was speaking of here that's your mountain? Is it temper? Is it drinking? Is it cussing? Is it some addiction? What is your mountain that needs to be moved? Is it finances? Do you have a mountain, a health mountain, a mental mountain, emotional mountain? Maybe there's a spiritual mountain. Deep down, are you mad at God? Are you put out with the church? Do you have some resentment with the Lord about something that's happened or not happened in your life, and it's become a stronghold of the enemy? It's a mountain. And God says you can speak in faith and that mountain will be moved. Isn't it time that your mountain was moved? Maybe you're, instead of trying to climb a mountain that keeps throwing you back down, why don't you in faith pray for it to be removed? I hear these guys, I'm serious, and some gals, you watch them on TV and all that, and oh, they're talking about always climbing a mountain, and you just climb your mountain, and I'm thinking, well, Jesus said to pray for it in faith, and he'll move it. It just sounds so good. See, that's that feel-good stuff. You've got your mountain, but just take it a step at a time, and you'll get to the top, and God's blessings will be waiting there. And it's like, most mountains I've climbed on top of are cold, pretty barren, and it's really more beautiful down below in the meadows. I like to stand on a mountain or side of a mountain and look out over all the country. It's really neat. And there's times that there's mountains to climb, but you know what? Jesus says in his word, how many times? Pray in faith and I'll just take the blasted thing away. Did we get it wrong? Is it really that we're to climb mountains all of our lives and just always be frustrated and worn out? Or is it that we stand as warriors and children of God and claim in Jesus' name that this thing is going to go? Is there something bothering you? Something in your body? That's what God put in my heart. If they brought me out and this little 30, 40 minute procedure turns into 2 hours and they tell me all this, now you got metal in there and I... And as I could finally came out, I was really heavily sedated. By the way, I don't that stuff I don't do well with. That anyway, got cleared from all that. It's like the Lord was saying, are you going to speak healing? Or are you just going to be worried about little metal bands in your stomach? Or worried about going to Brook Army or somewhere? Are you going to speak healing and let me move this mountain for you? Or are you just going to dwell on all that could happen? You know, they tell you all this stuff that could go wrong. Why don't you think about what could go right? Why don't you look at what God wants to do? And God says, if you believe and don't doubt in your heart, he'll take that, he'll move that mountain. Let it be moved. Let me move on. I think we're... probably overemphasizing the point. When you speak faith words, you draw faith to yourself. And if you speak negative, you draw negative. Listen to me. God wants you to speak words that have the power to save, to heal, to help, to encourage other people. That's what we're here for. And I just made a little note here, and I want you to hear this real quick. Negative speaking is a habit that turns into the devil's stronghold over time. You mark that down. Negative speaking is a habit that turns into the devil's stronghold over time. It causes you to be negative in your outlook and fatalistic in what you do. And when you speak words of faith, listen to me, when you speak words of faith, it will find a way to accomplish what God wants you to do. Now, listen to me. When you are tried, when you're tested, when that moment comes and the gas splashes out on your boot, or something goes wrong, or somebody smarts off to you, and I'll say this because it's true, there's something that one of the big changes I've seen in our society, it used to be people who waited on you, clerks, checkout people, waiters and waitresses were pleasant. Our newer generation is a very overall rude and self-centered bunch of people, and nothing will get you more than to have a smart aleck serving your food. Or you're trying to check out at one of our main places of, anyway, shopping or groceries, and there's just an attitude there in front of you. Does it get to you when you walk up and you've got these groceries, this little bag of groceries that used to cost $25 now costs $150? And so you're putting all that little mess out there and you put your little thing down and you move up there and they don't even look at you, greet you. Say howdy do, and it's like, look, I'm spending $150 for this little pile of garbage. The least you can do is say hi, right? And it grouches you. I held the door open. I don't know why I did it. There was he was probably maybe a freshman in high school, I don't know, and this kid was kind of stumbling there. He stumbled or something anyway, and I was going in the door of a little, one of these little gas station things. And so I just held the door. And he just brushed by me, and he bumped against my side. I held the door for him, and he just shot by me. No thank you. This happens all the time, right? And so I just turned around. I said, "You're welcome." And he looks at me like, "What's wrong with you, old man?" really? And I thought, if the law would allow it, I'd let you know what's wrong with me. Really. But you know who I got upset with as I was going to my truck? Not him. I wanted to go find his parents. Now, I don't want to say, you see this little brat that you turned out? This is you. This is what you caused, you produced. And you say, "Tony, does this fit in with the message?" No. But I just wanted to share that it really does. Now, I was fuming, and there's a point to this. And I do, especially with rude attitude, and I get upset. And then now God is, and so you want to say a bunch of stuff, and I'll say, I want to find his parents. I'll follow him home. Oh, yeah, cute. Yeah. But here's what God says, and here's where this formula comes from. Before you blow it, and this is what God has me do more than you know. I'm a pastor, but I'm still a man. I'm a human being, and I have the same struggles. The scripture says we all have the same temptations and trials and so forth. I have the same struggles you do, maybe in different areas, but I have them. And one is like that. I hate rude behavior. I was not raised to do it, and it's hard to tolerate. So here's what God has given me, and I'm going to give it to you. The first thing the Lord wants me to do, and I learned this from being outdoors and being in situations where you couldn't figure out where you were. The number one thing you have to do is stop. Before you say a word and you start gearing this and you say this to yourself, you speak these words of faith into your own heart. I will stop before anything else comes from me. I'm going to stop. I will think. I'm not going to react emotionally anymore to this kind of stuff. I stop. I think. And believe it or not, I breathe. And there's one other step. It's the same thing you do when you find yourself lost When you find yourself out in the middle of nowhere and you're going, oh my gosh, where are we? You stop. You think. I mean, really think. Just stop. And you breathe. Just breathe. And you pray. You ask God, is one thing, number one, is this worth it? Secondly, am I playing God here? That kid is your responsibility. That rude waiter or waitress, that ill-mannered person, are they my responsibility or are they yours? I ask you to deal with them. You pray. And then thirdly, you ask God this, are you teaching me something right now through this? Stop. One of the things that many of us used to do, I don't know what they teach anymore, but you're in command of a group of people, you have a unit to command or whatever, if you're going to get mad and you're their commander, the first thing you do is beside your legs, you ball your fist and you put that energy into gripping those fists and you stop. And you realize that what you're about to do or what you're wanting to do is going to influence a lot of people and they're looking to you. And so you get a hold of yourself and you get a grip. You get a grip. You stop and you think a minute. And you breathe. And those hands relax. And you pray. Now, the praying part, they didn't put in there. But that's what you do. And it's a quick prayer. God, you teaching me something? What do you want me to do? Am I playing God here? Is this a test? And you'll even get to laughing at yourself, smiling, thinking, yeah, that's what it was, and I was about to fail that one. But is it worth it to me? It saved me a lot of trouble. I want out of the habit of speaking negative. So let me give you this other one. I want to give you the power of prayer. Because he said up here, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, you'll have them. Friends, listen to me. Whatever you pray, believe that you have it already. And he said, I'll give it to you. Prayer is absolutely vital for us. It's really believing what we pray is the true part. Listen, when you pray, you believe that you're praying to the only God, the one and only, and he's the true power, and he can do anything, and he does anything. And God said, prayer is what I have established for you and I to communicate. Let me say this to you. We speak it, and we pray it. Prayer moves mountains. You ready for this? Prayer moves mountains. Prayer brings intimacy and communication with God the Father. Prayer is not just designed to get things. It's not just designed to deliver me from things or to heal me from things. Prayer is God's communication. It's God's heavenly language. It is designed to keep you and me in touch with God so we can develop his character, with his flavor, his personality, his influence. Prayer is the means of bringing God's salvation and blessings and miracles to this earth. Prayer brings healing to the sick, strength to the weak, and the tired and the weary. Prayer is God's heavenly language, and prayer is power. So he said, speak it and pray it. Come to me before the throne of grace and pray it out. You hear bad news? You'll hear some more. You turn on the news, you'll hear it. I'm so tired of hearing the name of you know who. You know, and what other idiotic thing that they're doing up there. I want to hear the name of God. I want to hear the name of Jesus Christ. I'm serious. I'm not just saying this as a preacher thing, a pastor thing. I want to hear God's name spoken. I keep hearing a man's name and all that's associated with him. I hear a woman's name up there. You know, we all know who we're talking about. And you know, face it, after a year now, we all have to just admit, and let's just face it, they don't have a clue what they're doing. We know that. But that's not where we're to focus. We're to focus not on an office, but on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you don't like what he or she or they are doing, bring it to the Lord who can change it all. And I'm asking God to either save them or bring them down. But don't let me focus on them, God. I want to focus on you because that's my calling, that's my job, that's my purpose, and it's yours. They will eventually go. Hallelujah. But God stays. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's who we focus on. Let me wrap this up, and boy, you're waiting for that one. Me too. So here it is. Okay, thank you. Let me give you this third one. The power of moving on. It's time to move on. Forgiveness is possible only through the Holy Spirit's influence, but you can do it. A lot of people say, I forgive, but I'm not going to let it go. You didn't forgive. I forgive them, but I'm not going to let it go. Well, you didn't forgive anybody. You're like that fig tree with the leaves. Be careful. You know what happened to it? It got withered. If you forgive, let it go. I forgive, but I won't forget. Be very careful with that. Let me share this with you. The power of letting go. Paul said, this one thing I do, I've learned to forget what lies behind and press on to what lies ahead, to the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to challenge you this morning as you exercise your power of speaking and power of prayer. How about the power of moving on? Move on. Move on from the anger, the resentment, the bad attitude. Some of you can have such wonderful relationships with other people if you would move on from the bad one that you had. Nobody wants to live under the same roof or be in the same place with someone who has someone else there with them in their mind. I can't tell you how that so often I've had to live with that, deal with that, counsel that. If you're not letting go of your past, you're living with it now, and you're causing somebody else to live with it too. I know too many homes where there's three or four people living under that roof with one couple. Both of them bring their baggage in there. They don't let go of the past. Well, I got hurt, and I'm never going to have a woman do that to me again. I got hurt. I'm never going to have a man do that to me again. Well, you're bringing that garbage right to someone else who does not deserve it. They're trying to love you and you won't let them because you're constantly holding them up on the cross and crucifying them for what somebody else did. And it's time to get over it, honey. I know that sounds awful. It's like, do you counsel like that when I finally get fed up with it? And I have to say it sometimes. Sir or honey. I don't use honey much because that gets you in trouble. But you know. But it's like, get over it. And it's like, do you say that? Yeah, you know, cry me a river, build a bridge, and get over it. I'm not being ugly. I'm telling you, quit bringing the past into somebody else's life and making a mess of it again. How many relationships, do you know people that just go from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship and they blame, honey, it's you. You're the problem. You're just trailing this big line of garbage all along, and you won't admit, you're too proud or too something to admit, it's you. You're the problem. You mess up everything in your life because you keep carrying this junk in there with it. Let go. Let go. I've had people say, Tony, I appreciate you inviting me to church, but I'm never going to walk in another church again. Why? Well, I got hurt in church. Somebody in church did this or that. And it's like, so in church is the only place you've ever been hurt? What do you mean? And it's like, you know what I mean. You mean the church is the only place anybody's ever hurt you? Well, no, you've been hurt at Walmart. You've been hurt at HEB. You've been hurt. Well, yeah. You go back there. So what the truth is, you don't want to go to church, and you're using that crud, this is garbage, and you're using it as an excuse, and I'm too old and too honorary to listen to this crud anymore. I can get away with it now. I don't say it quite that. I do. Yeah, pretty much. And you know, a lot of times it shocks people into realizing I am making excuses. And I hear this all the time. I just pointed at you, but you didn't do this. Okay. They'll say, Tony, I'm never going to have another relationship again because of what happened. And it's like, get over it. Do you think all the rest of them haven't been through it too? Yeah? Why should that stop you from ever having a great relationship or a friendship or a marriage again? Why are you going to just let that sour milk keep you from buying another carton? Let go. How many of you think that I could be here today if I didn't let go of all the things that have happened to me as a pastor? Some of you have known me a long time. Have you seen anything happen to me as a pastor? Are you back there? Did anything ever happen that would say, I'd quit if I was him? You ever thought that? Yeah. I wouldn't come back. Emails, you name it, Facebook. I've been called every name in the book, cussed. People yelling at me. I had one lady yell at me in another church, calling me a liar in front of everybody. You know, you're a liar. You're a liar. How'd you like to have that happen in your face? There's people there looking at you. You're the pastor. Gotta let it go. You wouldn't want me coming in here judging all of you, but what happened there? I look at all of you, and you're my wife. You're my present. You're the church here. You're not them. And I'm saying to all of you, I'm not bringing something. The reason I'm saying this is I'm not bringing you something that God hasn't put me through. I have to let go of my stuff too. I have to turn loose all the obscenities and notes in the windshield. I used to hate that, finding those notes under my windshield wiper. You know what, a lot of more. I've told some of you, but some of you are new here. I've gone to my truck and pulled a note out. It says, burn in hell. Really? Others said, hope you go to hell. Stuff like that. And then there was a few, and they really have, and they said, hope you die. Yeah, they have. They never had one to start with. But that's all happened over the years. Not here. That has not happened here, but it happened in other places. I was there, oh yeah, oh, hope you die. That time, it just makes you feel... It's like, golly, makes you want to go back next Sunday, I'll tell you that. Yeah, I can't wait to go back there. You know? No, it hasn't happened here. I'm so grateful. Thank you. But has it happened? Yes. And so I want to say to you, God wanted me to bring this in this last part of letting go, moving on, because I've had to move on. I'm having to move on now. Every day I have to move on. Every Sunday is a moving on. You just got to leave it behind and go on. And here's the truth of it, and I'm closing, I'm really closing. I don't have the right to hold my anger. I don't have the right to resent. I don't have the right to have a bad attitude about life. You know why? He died for me. Jesus earned that right. And when I ask him into my heart, I forfeited my right to be mad anymore, to hate people. Because out of love, he died for me, and out of love, he rose again. And by giving him my soul and my spirit, and by giving Jesus Christ my body as his temple, I forfeit the right to hold on to these things. I forfeit the right to play God. And as Jesus himself, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. But he left it all in the hands of God. And that's what we have to do. Jesus says, leave it and let it go. So if you want something right now, this day, if you won't need something, you speak it. You pray it. And you move on to get it. And you move away from the junk that's keeping you from having the happiness and the joy and the righteousness and the goodness and the fulfillment that God has for you. So start speaking words of faith. Start praying words of faith. And move on from the bad and move on to the good. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Really, truly hallowed, holy, righteous, to be honored is your name. Your kingdom come, and I'm asking you, your kingdom come soon. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done in our lives. Your will be done in the government. Your will be done in this world. Your will be done right here in Full Life Fellowship. Each of our hearts and lives and families and homes. Our work everywhere. Our health, our finances, our past, present, futures in your hands. Your will be done. Forgive us, Father, our sins as we forgive us those that have sinned against us. And truly, holy God, give us right here today the letting go and the forgive. Go on. We put it before you, before the cross. We come away clean, cleansed, pure, holy, and righteous, and happy, joyful in the Lord. Lead us not into temptation. Our trials are testing, God. We're weary. We're tired. We need your strength to mount up on wings as eagles. God, don't lead us into these things, and don't let us be led into it. Don't let us create them ourselves. But deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. Bring down the evil, Lord. Deliver us. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. All honor to you, Father. And thank you so much for you. In Jesus' name, amen.